write about, trying to figure out what it's all about. Existentialist, am I worth anything or just a scout? I don't know.
Yo.
I don't know. I don't know.
That was great. Sounds of Watson with Outside and WNHH LP 103.5 FM New Haven. Myself, Preston, with my partner in crime, Long Island raised, Elm City made, EZ Blues. EZ Blues, you are better with introductions more than me. What is the topic we are going to talk about today?
Well, today it's super interesting because we are talking about, you know, what it is like to be a parent,
yeah,
while also being an entrepreneur.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people are going to automatically think, oh, you have to split your life in two because you have to, you know, just take care of this part and this part. It's really about living holistically so that, you know, your kids understand what being an entrepreneur is. You know, like, for example, our good friend Khalil, you know, he brings his kids into where he's working.
Yeah, of course.
He has them actually helping, and he has them helping with the advertising and different things like that. They grow up in that type of structure. That's the way to be the entrepreneur while being a parent as well. A lot of people, they always ask me that question, how are you a musician and a father? Because I am. I mean,
you gotta adjust, that's all.
Yeah, you just gotta sit there and adjust, but it can be something that's difficult because obviously when you're a parent, you know, your kids cannot do a lot of the things, you know, like watch themselves or, you know, contrary to the boomers' belief and all of that, you know, the kids can't just sit there and watch themselves or just watch TV the entire time or anything like that. That's going to be an issue. You need to be able to engage with them, and you need to be able to grow the family, you know, making sure that you having sit down dinners are important. And if you can't do it every single day,
right,
once a week, sit down with your family, check in with everybody, make sure that you know that goes in. One of the biggest things I do every single night with my kids, especially when I'm home, is I say goodnight and I give them a hug and I tell them that they're loved. Because no matter how much they annoy me through the day or how much trouble they'll get themselves into or anything, I feel it's super important that they go to bed every night knowing that they're loved. That's just me personally. I mean, I could be wrong.
Tell people how to find some balance, because I can't answer that question because I have no kids.
The way to define the balance is, like you said before, it's sitting there and trying to adjust. You know, it's sitting and understanding that, you know, you might have to take a four-year-old to go sit on, you know, a line that you don't want to sit in, or a building you don't want to sit in. So say you're going to get your business license.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now there's a whole bunch of grants and stuff in which you can apply for and do all these kind of things.
Right.
You've got to learn how to do that while bringing a four-year-old, which means there's going to be a lot of start stop. There's going to be a lot of, you know, a thing. Make sure having friends, having family is important. Having a great support system is always important. We see the incredible support system with explicit Rage Room.
Rage Room. Oh, yeah.
You know, he's got
my favorite interviews. Yeah,
exactly. But he's got his son helping there. His wife also helps there, and those different things. You see how it's holistic. It's not singular. He's not a father and a business owner. He's a business owner and a father.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it all works together. And that's the way it has to be. A lot of people really believe that comic book nonsense that you have to be Batman and Bruce Wayne. That works in a comic book.
Where you can just be like Tony Stark and just, you know.
Word. I'm Iron Man. Just go about my day. You know.
Does it help them when they see you just multitask in a structured way in their own personal point of view? Because it could be chaotic on your side because you have to try to remain some tolerance, if you know what I mean.
No, definitely. And it's kind of like it's a blessing and a curse.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're doing it so well, then they could grow up and think that it's super easy and that, you know, you're not sure. Like, I try to show them the struggle as well.
Yeah.
I don't try to just show them, you know, when it's good. When it's good, it's good. But when it's rough, it's rough. And it's rough for all of us. You know what I'm saying? There's some times where ramen noodles is the choice of you know, is taster's choice. There's just nothing we can do about it. And, you know, even through inflation, ramen noodles is still 39 cents a packet. And I love them to death, man. I will eat those things day, night, inside and outside. You know, they fill up the family.
I hear they have bugs on them.
Uh-huh. That everything has bugs on it.
Oh, Lord.
Dude, do I have to start talking to you about chocolate again?
No.
Okay.
No, please don't. Please don't.
Yeah.
Please
yeah.
don't.
I'm just saying.
Please don't. Because you know, I stopped eating chocolate after you told me about that.
Well, the thing is again, this is all dealing with regulations, okay? And this is something that recently has just been readjusted. And when I say recently, I mean with the previous administration, not the current presidential administration. The previous administration rolled back some regulations on meat. Mm. So now we are allowed to eat worse meat for us instead of better meat for us. You know, they're allowed to be more fecal matter. There's allowed to be more, you know, these type of things in these plants.
Is that only in America?
No, that's all over the place. But only in America is it, you know, you have the FDA approves it. And you're safe because the FDA approves it. Meanwhile, B17 helps cure cancer, but the FDA refuses to approve that.
Say it again?
B17 helps cure cancer.
What is B17?
B17
I hate to say
is,
this. I'm a little embarrassed to say this. What is B17?
B17 is a vitamin that actually helps cancer patients as they're going and healing and different type of things like that.
Okay.
But it's a vitamin that when you're dealing with a lot of the natural stuff, the FDA doesn't necessarily approve that. Now, just because that's one of those things, just because it's FDA approved doesn't mean it's good. You know, again, that chocolate bar, and I'm not putting any names out there so no one can come after me, but that chocolate bar has a certain amount of rat hair, fecal matter. It's allowed by the FDA to have it in there. And now the same things like that for some of our meats.
What if I make my own chocolate bar?
You're good. But here's the thing.
Gotta cook more.
You gotta make your own coming from the cocoa beans themselves.
There you go. I can do that. I know how to do that.
You know, make your own chocolate bar from the cocoa beans themselves. It's going to be some of the best chocolate you've ever had.
Yes.
And you're going to be super, super, super awake.
Hey, I'm cool with that. I'm awake naturally.
That's the same. Well, I'm just saying the same plant that gives you chocolate gives you cocaine. So I'm just saying.
Oh, the cocoa boy. This is not actual cocaine.
Something like that.
Oh, God. I think that's the topic for another discussion. We're kind of totally. Leaning off.
Well, then we'll start talking about how Coca-Cola started and it was legal.
Goodness. Oh, my goodness. that's ridiculous. But and how do your kids handle responsibility when it comes to being an entrepreneur? Because responsibility goes to numerous levels.
Well, again, this is everything that you roll to your children.
Mm-hmm.
If you're someone who is being super responsible in that type of thing, hopefully that behavior repeats.
Mm-hmm.
But if not, you also have, you know, sometimes there are some, you always want better for your kids.
Of course.
So you'll go out there and you'll hustle and you'll move and you'll shake and you'll do all of this kind of stuff. So you hope your kids don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But you can start to raise them where they don't have all of that responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they're an adult, they're going to fail. I show them, you know, like they have chores that they have to get done to get the allowance that's necessary. This is the same way you deal with wages. Okay. You're paid for a certain amount of time to do a task.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same thing with doing the chores. And that's something that you really have to work on and, you know, lay out there. You have to put that structure forward. Kids love, no matter how much they'll tell you, they'll fight you, but kids love structure. Structure is
kids
so
love
super,
structure.
They do.
Okay.
They
okay.
Really
okay. All
That's
right.
What actually helps them grow. You can be so super, super creative and super out there more in a structured environment than you can without the structured environment. A lot of people will tell you they don't like structure. No, they just don't like to be told what to do in the way that you're telling them what to do. There's many times my kids don't like when I tell them what to do. They still get it done. Because they like their television. They like the ability to go and talk to their friends on their phones. Mm-hmm. They like, you know, all these type of things that, you know, if you cannot follow through with your responsibilities, then you don't get the privileges that are there. Mm-hmm. And that's the structure aspect of it. You know, the reason why my three absolutely massively intelligent, but definitely on the spectrum children are all high honor roll students with A's and B's.
Mm-hmm.
Is because I give them structure and I give them the time when you don't have structure. where you can have a no bones day and you lay, you can lay around, but you have that no bones day after all of your chores are taken care of. Everything is squared away. You know, your homework is all done. All of this, all of your responsibilities are taken care of. And then you can goof off, you know, that's
when everything's complete.
Once everything's complete, you should be working super hard to get it done as quick as possible and then goof off. Now, when you go into the regular corporate world, that's a behavior that actually gets punished. You can be, you know, you knock it all out of the park, you get it done, and then you rest. And they go, oh, well, since you're resting, let me give you so much more other responsibilities. And that's another topic for another time. But the way things that should work out is you knock out everything that you need to knock out, and then you can rest. I remember doing that in the military. And I remember doing that, you know, that was one of the things that hit me growing up. Oh, you mean, I, you know, in every job I've ever been in, you know, oh, I can, I'll just work 90 miles an hour for the first hour. And then for the next 3 hours, I'll sit with my thumb in my ear.
I can't do that, man. I can't do that.
I know you
like,
can't.
I can't do that. Like, don't get me wrong. I love like getting everything completed, but like there's some jobs where they just, I mean, I've been in some jobs where they don't want me to like overwork myself, and I get that, but like I got to do something or like move around within a couple hours, I'll go crazy in my head. I gotta keep moving. In
your case though, the way that I would probably structure something would be to give you a task for the entire day where you can spend some time knocking it out, chunking away at it, instead of, you know, here's all this stuff and you know
yeah, we still gotta work on that because I get it. They haven't given me a task like that. Well, they have, but it but they failed on their side. But
oh yeah,
yeah. And then I get it done, like, and I'm like, well, what's that?
This should take someone all day to do. But that's like, also, but here's the thing, it's not necessarily just a failure on their side, because it's also technically a failure on yours, because you had poor time management skills.
Well, I have poor time management skills, and I got the job done.
You're not stretching. You're not stretching the time.
I'm not going to stretch it. Like, I just want
to. There are ways to stretch it, though. There are ways to, you know, go that, knock this out, then get up, go get a sip of water. You know, go and sometimes you like I have to structure.
But I can get a sip. But I can get a sip of water while I do it.
You could.
No job. No job's going to like ban me for drinking water. That's idiotic. That's stupid. They can't do that.
Right, but what I'm saying is. Yeah. Planning, like I have to plan those times to take the breaks, or I will
get your point of view.
Bone, you know,
your point of view is valid. Your point of view makes sense as you sip your water. Mm-hmm. So, like, it makes total sense. But I get your point. But you know, there's other stuff I can like probably like I got Josh. I can say it's time structured. I'm jumbling my words, but I can say it's a time structure. I can work.
Yeah, and you know, and that's the whole thing is because, you know, look, we 100% have always been taught, and it comes from a place of love. And this is, you know, a lot of the traumas that we've grown up through have come from a place of love, where you do have those people who want the best for you, so they're going to push you as hard as humanly possible, but then they don't give you that second to like push back. They don't give you that second to relax. I'm very big into that. You know, like, look, I give my kids mental health days for school.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so you like, purposely tell them don't go that day? Wow, yeah, that's like, crazy.
Today,
I never.
Today you're in.
You're the first parent that ever said that to me in my life.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, are all your tests done?
You had to go to school no matter what. They did not want you to miss a day. You were the first parent I know that says, don't go to school.
No, because there's
crazy to me,
dude. I've been in school.
Never heard that. Yeah,
I've been in school. I've been the smartest kid in school, and I'm bored out of my freaking mind. So then I'm gonna get myself in trouble, or I'm gonna fall asleep, or I'm gonna fall, and then I'm gonna, you know, fall behind in class. Just take the day.
That's wild.
Take the day. Veg out. Watch some TV. You know, the only thing that I always say, and I only did, you know, I gave my oldest a mental health day so she could go and get the collector's edition of Legend of Zelda for the what is that thing called?
The DS?
Not the DS.
The latest
Wii
one.
The U or whatever.
I don't think it's the Wii U.
I don't think it's the Wii U. It's got there's so many people right now that are yelling at the radio. They're like, what do you mean you don't know what it is? Bro, okay.
Bro, we work.
Yeah, where? The Switch. It's called Nintendo Switch. Switch.
There you go. So now they can stop yelling.
Yeah, they can stop yelling. We figured it out. Thanks. You know. But so I gave, but that was the only time on Mental Health Day you were allowed to go out.
Absolutely.
You know, because here's the thing with me, if you're home from school, you're home from school. Those hours between school, you are home. You can do whatever you need to do at home.
Yeah.
But you are home, you know, and that's just the way it goes. You're kind of like on lockdown because you should be in school, you know.
I agree.
But yeah, giving them a mental health day is so super important. Taking a mental health day as an adult is super important.
Which mental health day? I mean, which out of the 5 days of the week do you get a mental health day? Or you just like sporadically just pick one?
It's whenever they feel like they need it.
That's crazy. Get up. Crazy. That is crazy.
But
I would make it a Friday. I would make it like a long weekend a Friday or a Monday.
No, because there's sometimes, well, no, because you got to look at it. You got to look at the different schedules because, like, for example, my youngest,
one of your youngest, yes.
He just did the school play, and not that he was in the play, but he was, you know, helped build the set and he did all the sound for the play and everything. And he had late nights. Like he was going, like he was getting up in the morning at 6 o'clock in the morning and not coming home until like 10 o'clock at night. So when that was over, I gave him a day off. I was like, oh, you don't have any more responsibilities? You're all still all caught up with all your classes? You're still getting an A in all these subjects? Go home, take a nap.
All right. Now, if they had like an F, they weren't keeping up with their grades.
They're not living up to their responsibilities.
Okay. But if they were living to their potential, in their grade,
because as far as I'm concerned, none of my kids are living up to their potential. My kids should be taking over the world. You know what I'm saying?
That's fair for a parent to say. Yeah. That's fair. You know, that's fair.
But okay. they live up to the standard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay? They knock out all of their responsibilities.
Of course.
And if they knock out all their responsibilities, they get privileges.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? But it works in reverse. If you don't knock out all your responsibilities, you lose privileges. It's a give and take situation.
Yeah.
You know, but that's really, you know, and those privileges can be anything. Mm-hmm. Can be you get to pick the movie tonight. You know, like right now.
That's different. You can pick the movie tonight, but I don't go to school today. Like that's two levels of difference.
Is it though?
I think so. I mean, just coming from parents that say you got to go to school every day. Like I had to go to school. Sometimes I had to go.
You have to go to school every single day within a certain amount of time. You're allowed to miss a certain amount of days of school. It is legally okay.
I understand that. I mean, back in my day, we had like six. You're allowed to miss at least like 6 days out of the school.
So I understand that.
Yeah, I understand that. But for a parent.
Right.
To say, oh, you're good, take the day off. That to me is wild and still getting in my vibe. That's just wild. So I'm still processing that. So I understand your factor. Right. Like your reasons, I understand. Everything makes sense. It's just you are the first ever.
You know, any parents
who tell me this? Yes.
Hashtag parents. Kids Mental Health Day. I guarantee you there's a lot more parents out there that are doing it. And if they're
today,
not, you should start
today.
Today. Oh, yeah, no, dude, when we were growing today. Up. But back then,
it was a different narrative.
Well, but it was today, such a different narrative back then. Yeah. Remember, we used to have a commercial at 10 o'clock at night that said, it's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are?
Yeah, I remember that, hands down.
Everyone remembers that, you know, because you had to be reminded that you had children. Mm-hmm. I don't have to be reminded that I have children. Trust me, I know. I'm very aware that I have children. My house smells like feet and body odor. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have teenage children in my house.
I hope they're dedicated to the cleaning. I hope they're dedicated to put it in the chores if that's the case.
But you have to give them an environment in which it's not, they don't just do the chores to do the chores.
Yeah, they have to know the responsibility of doing the chores. Exactly. And because once they're out on their own, they're the only people that can clean their house. They're the only
and we tell them all the time, we do not want their partners to come back and tell us, how dare you? How did you raise this child? Yeah. No. We raised them with their head on their shoulders. They took advantage of you. That's totally different. Yeah. But that's one of the keys. We tell them all the time, I do not want your college roommate to yell at me, because I know I did everything right.
Yeah. I think my mom, I think what I got was the OCD with cleaning. So like every time, like I just had to sweep, I just had to just work down the table, I had to get under the bed, and it was just like forced into me. It was like second nature. So like that was like braced upon me. So.
And it's so interesting how these things can be put upon you, whether it be by the example with your mom or stuff, or the opposite example. Because like for me, my house was a mess all the time. My mom, she worked two jobs. She was a single mom doing it. She also had her own demons and different things like that. So, the last thing on her checklist was housekeeping. She was cleaning other people's houses. She didn't want to clean her own.
That I get. Because they tell me most janitors' houses are a little messy.
Right.
So that I understand, because they spend their whole chunk of their life cleaning other people's mess. And then when it comes to their own, I get that part. That makes a lot of sense.
Well,
so I'm seeing that aspect.
Well, and it's super interesting too, because like for me, I love chaos and clutter. Like I function better in chaos and clutter than
And I'm not functioning well, because I should have said the tag two minutes ago. WNHHLP 103.5 FM New Haven. Myself, Preston, and the person who I just cut off, his name is Easy Blues. Go right ahead, sir.
That just means we're having a great conversation. Let's be honest. But see, that's the thing is, for me, I grew up, and I love clutter. I love chaos. Mm. I can function the best in it. Coming from retail, my favorite time of year was Christmas, not because of, tis the season, because you were in chaos for like a whole month and a half. You got to watch an 80-year-old woman and a 12-year-old kid fight over the latest Backstreet Boys CD and like actually fight. You know what I mean? I used to say P. Diddy CD, but I don't say that anymore. Just
not the only one. You're not the only one who's not saying
it. I know.
You're not the only one. That's another conversation.
That's a whole other conversation.
Exactly.
But no, that's the thing is I, so I would love the clutter. I could sit in a room and know exactly where everything is, even if the room is a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just the way that my brain works. So you had that on top of the fact that my mom had depression issues and she was, cleaning other people's houses and she was taking care of three kids and, she had addiction issues and all those other things as well. I grew up in a dirty house. That's just the way things go. I grew up in a dirty house. So one of the things that I had to really work on in going into the military was great for that, was to how to figure out how to organize myself, but still stay true to my creative process of being, living in chaos and disorganization. Where like now, like for example, I had a show the other day at Cherry Street.
Yeah.
And I have things that I have to get accomplished before I'm show ready. I gotta do my hair, I gotta take a shower, I gotta paint my nails, I gotta pick out the outfit, I gotta, do all this kind of stuff to get show ready.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't block it out over a long period of time,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to wait until the last 15 minutes and then something's going to be forgotten.
Oh, wow.
So I know. Yeah. Because look, at the end of the day, I don't want to put on pants. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to leave my house. I love playing shows. My Valhalla is dying on stage.
I've seen it.
That's my Valhalla, So I love it. It's my favorite thing in the world to do. I also love just being in my house and being left alone. It's a wonderful thing. I don't have to deal with people.
I see that
no
too.
One takes me off. You know, no one bothers me. So it takes a lot for me to want to go outside. You know, so I will procrastinate. But now I have figured out a way to time to lengthen out my responsibilities so that I'm still procrastinating, but I'm getting everything done. So I'm like, okay, I get up when I get up, you know, say I have 6 hours before I have to be at the have to leave for the show. At the 2 hours into it, you know, at the 4 hour mark, I'll do my nails. At the 6 hour mark, I'll do, you know, not the 6 hour, at the 2 hour mark, I'll jump in the shower, you know, or I'll do my hair and then jump in the shower. You know, there's just certain things, as long as I can plan it out, it works out so much better. And it's a better thing for me mentally, because if not, I wait till the last minute and then it's chaos going into the show. And now I'm already like this.
Do you feel most entrepreneurs wait till the last minute?
There's just something about the last minute that it's like an endorphin rush. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can knock it out and it can almost chase it like a high. So yeah, I don't know most, I'll say some definitely. Just because why not?
Can that but be also, a good thing, you know, or bad thing?
It can be both. It can be both, because here's the thing, at the end of the day, everything is a customer service industry. So you have to make sure that if you're not going to meet certain standards, you got to make sure other standards are higher. Like, for example, you know, when you're dealing with handmade product that, you know, it takes a while for it to develop. Mm-hmm. It takes a while for it to get packaged. It takes a mm-hmm. while for it to ship. It's mm-hmm. going to take a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to make sure that product is absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
We know, and we know this firsthand mm-hmm. with Daddy Butter. With Daddy mm-hmm. Butter, it might take a month for the stuff to get to you. It's going to get to you and you're going to love it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But that's because it takes a long time. Right, yeah. It's handmade. So it's going to take some time.
That, you know? And they got to get your order right, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's not just them, it's a lot of other companies too. They may right. have 70% of your order and the other 30% right. is not made yet. So
right.
it happens with a lot of local companies. But as an entrepreneur and a parent, what are your thoughts on nepotism?
You know, I'm someone who I don't really care about nepotism as long as it's they're the best qualified candidate.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that, like, in every aspect of life.
Mm.
You know, I don't care. How do I say this? I would love to see Magneto played by Denzel Washington, because I think Denzel Washington is one of the best actors in the entire world. It does not matter what color he is. It matters that he's the best at it.
Right. Of course.
Now, it'd be the same thing if my brother was the best actor humanly possible. I would want to see him play Magneto. It's not mm-hmm. that he's my brother. It's that he's the best candidate for it. It's the nepotism that hires, like, the brother-in-law because the sister is very loud and the brother-in-law does nothing. That's the type of issue that I have with nepotism. And that is something that's anything that can be exploited can wind up being a bad thing. So as long as it's the best qualified candidate, of course you want to look through your family first. Mm-hmm. You know, you're trying to build an empire. You're trying to build a legacy. It's not just about, you know, the product in which you put out there. It's a matter of the story of how the, you know, how the business was formed and how the family got behind it. I mean, it's such a great story,
mm-hmm.
you know, and everyone wants to buy into that story.
Do you feel most, actually, I can't say most because I don't really know people's lives that much, but do you feel a good number of parents force nepotism down their kids, you know, try to put down their dreams when it comes to, you know, the family business and, you know, continuing this legacy because they want to do a tradition that they want in their head instead of just focus what's in their child's individual ambitions and dreams and opportunities?
I think that's also comes from a place of love. Like very, very similar to, and many things we've talked about, you know, comes the trauma from love type of aspect of it. And when it's where you're forcing someone into a mold that's not really for them, but it's super protective.
That's fair.
You know, you know, and you see that a lot with some parents that will freak out because they found out that, you know, their child is part of the LGBTQ plus community.
Right.
And it's not that they have anything against the LGBTQ plus community. Mm. They just know there's a lot of people that have things against the LGBTQ plus community, and their child is now at a higher risk.
Mm.
You know, like when my oldest goes out and does those things, she's got to text me every couple hours to tell me that she's okay, because I know what the world, I know what the real world is like out there.
Mm.
You know, so she's going to double in and check in, because so that I'm not, you know, a ball of, oh my gosh, is my child, you know, beat up in an alley because she's just being herself, you know? So there are certain things that you need to check out then there. That's like the best example I can give is actually my youngest is a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
My youngest has been a drummer his entire life.
Right.
Something I never pushed. I don't push music on any of my kids or anything like that. I just live the life of a musician, and they see the reality of it. But I waited almost to the last minute to, like, you know, until he got into middle school where he actually could be in a band, in school band. I kind of waited, and I wanted it to be something that he wanted to do. I could have been a tiger parent. I could have forced a pair of drumsticks in his hands, could have found him, you know, a couple of my friends that could have given him lessons, and he could have been drilled, and it could have been all about that. But then it's not his love. It's not his. I wanted him to fall in love with it first. I think that's really one of the keys, is you got to let these people fall in love with that idea as well. It might not be their idea. They might not love it. They might want to work towards their only other aspect. I mean, we see it again, and I'm going to bring up Khalil as I always do, because this is definitely one of the best things for that. You know, his oldest daughter is an entrepreneur in a cooking aspect of it, and different things there, you know, where he has then been able to, you know, use his platform to launch some of the things that she's been trying, cooking wise, and different aspects there. So I think that is a much healthier way. I'm not going to say a better way, because then all of a sudden I'm picking sides, but it's a healthier way to deal with it. You know, encouraging them to still be 100% themselves, because being an entrepreneur is really about being 100% who you are. This is a love that you have. And you want to bring that out into the world, you know, you have to let that next generation have their own type of love too. And they look, there's a reason they're, you know, not everyone falls. I'm not going to get Freudian. I was about to get Freudian there. I was going to mention Oedipus. I was going to go into a whole nother realm, but I'm not going to do that this time.
Right. No, at least you stopped yourself.
Yeah. I did. I pulled that e-brake real hard. I was like, "Ooh!" I could tell where this conversation was going.
How does it feel like to just have your kids at your concert supporting you, and sometimes just like helping you out, just like, which is, you know, just like small task when it comes to just like with the band and stuff? That has to make you feel good.
Honestly, I don't like it.
Don't like it. Okay, that's fair.
Mainly because when I am in that mode, and you see it, I forget the rest of the world exists. I'm there to do a job, and this is what it is, and I'm going to be networking and running around the whole time. If there's somebody there that I have to check in with, and someone there that I now have to be concerned about their well-being as well, that takes moments and pieces away from me giving 100% into what I want to do. But that being said, when I get to see them do something that they really, really love, and that they've put their passion and their soul into, that is the best feeling in the entire world.
Hmm.
I might not like when they come to the shows. Yes, I love to show the music and different things like that. I might not like them coming to a show, and they have been to very little shows because I play bars and I grew up in bars.
Yeah,
and
my kids grew up in bars. That's understandable. Yeah, but then when those
sometimes, you know, things can happen. Mm-hmm. But to me, you know, going and seeing, you know, one of my youngest at a debate tournament, you know, smoking the competition, that is something that's much cooler than them, you know. I'm watching them be passionate. Going to see one of my other youngest, you know, play for his school band, that is such an incredible thing, because you see them truly happy. That is something that is so much more important to me. And that's just to me. Right. For somebody else, they could be like, this man's completely out of his mind. And that's fine. A lot of people feel that way.
That's fair. That's fair. That's fair. And it shows your own selfish side, too, when it comes to these things. It really does.
Well, it's one of the things is I guess, I call it string theory parenting because, you know.
String theory parenting, okay.
Yeah. Because in string theory, you know, instead of the four dimensions of life, there's technically 13, and there's all these mathematical equations of to speak how other reality can come through. And that's kind of like how I've had to be a parent, you know, because when instead of that moment where my child comes to me and says, you know, I have my first crush on this other child, I got, you know, I'm gay. And I have a crush on a child, and that child is this and that and so forth and so on and so forth. So I didn't have that regular 2 + 2 = 4. I had that string theory parenting, mm-hmm. which has allowed me to understand that, you know, their happiness is more important than my own, to take that selfishness out of it. All three of my kids have changed their names. You know, and I'm okay with that because it's about their happiness, not mine. I've realized that they're not going to grow up to be the person I want them to be. Mm-hmm. I want them to grow up to be the happiest version of themselves. So I have to take me out of it. I've already gone around this world. I've already made my mistakes. I've already got my bone, you know, I've already got my bones, you know, it's time mm-hmm. for them to get theirs and for me to be that support system. And that support system isn't going to say, no, you have to do this exactly how I named you. And you have to live the path in which you're supposed to live. And that's just the way it's going to go.
Nah, yeah, but everything's perfect and time always changes.
Right.
Do you feel a lot? I don't want to just eliminate the word a lot, but do you feel parents who are entrepreneurs mm-hmm. sometimes, I know we talked about time adjustment a little bit earlier in the show, but have a hard time structuring the family and the business. They're too much into the business, or it could be the other way around, you know, where the business hurts because they're, you know, they're focusing more on being a parent.
I think the people that try to divide the two do mm-hmm. definitely.
Yeah,
I think when you realize that this is just who you are 100% of the time, mm-hmm. It becomes a lot easier because then you're no longer an entrepreneur and a parent. You just happen to be a parent that's an entrepreneur, or you're an entrepreneur that is a parent. You know, you're not splitting those two worlds. That's one thing that I really hope people stop doing is trying to be, you know, I'm this person at home and I'm this person at work. Nah, dude, I'm just this person. There's one thing that I will tell people from jump, whether you see me at 6 o'clock in the morning, whether I'm on this radio show, whether I'm out in person, whether I'm on stage, I am still the same person I am at every single moment. There is no difference. I'm a little bit louder, mm-hmm. but I'm still the same person. Right. You know, I live 100% as who I am. When we start to categorize and break up who we are into, this is the home Dustin, and this is the work person, and this is I'm me, and I'm a worker who happens to be an entrepreneur, who happens to be a musician, who happens to be a father. Mm-hmm. I'm all of those things. I am the sum of those pieces, and I'm not an individual piece at all.
That's fair. Yeah. I like that.
I like that too. That should be another shirt. I think we should start looking at shirts. I mean, we can now. I'm just saying.
Let's trademark the ideas.
I know.
I think that'll be easier.
Yeah. Last time we had a good idea.
Yeah.
Last time we had a good idea, we got a letter.
Yeah, we got a letter. We got a letter about that. But I feel we should trademark these shirts, quotes, ideas, you know. And then when we come to a right medium where we can just bring that out to the public, then we can, you know. it'll be better for us. But there was a lot of learning right here on WNHHLP 103.5 FM New Haven from a parent and entrepreneur, Mr. Easy Blues. What do you say to the people who have already been entrepreneurs for a long amount of time and who are uncertain if they want to be a parent because they waited this long? And, you know, it could be, let's say, like 42, 43. and you accomplish a lot what you want to accomplish in life when it comes, you know, your own terms and your own goals and your own business, and you want to, you know, start a family, which is a reasonable age to start a family, 43. You know, you can do it. It has been done
Yeah.
before numerous amount of times. What do you say to that individual who's a little bit uncertain?
Start a family. That's
Okay.
really what it comes down to is, you know, and it's so funny because I got this advice at a really young age from someone that I super respected from the music industry. I remember going to the Tibetan Freedom concert, and Eddie Vedder was out, you know, collecting signatures for a petition for a free Tibet. And he was trading his autograph for yours on the petition. And I was already gonna sign the petition. So, but I, you know, I got to meet Eddie Vedder, and you know, I looked at him dead in the eyes, and I was like, "Hey, man, what advice do you have for an up and coming musician to make it?" And he looked me dead in the eyes. And here I'm expecting this like truth gospel. You know, I'm expecting these words to be kissed by God. And he looked at me. He goes, "Just do it."
Yeah,
And
simple.
at the time, I was like, I expected like some sort of, you know, gospel, and I got a Nike commercial. You know, but it really makes the most amount of sense because if you want to go and be something, be that thing.
Of course.
You know, do it. Stop. Don't. We get so frustrated when we don't do it. Just do it. Whatever. We only live once. You know, if you want to be a parent at 40, good luck. I don't want to be a parent at like I don't want a young baby right now. Are you kidding me?
Can't
But
predict
that's
life,
me.
man. What if
I've
you get
been
another
there,
little
done.
easy?
Yeah.
What if you get another little easy out the blue? What's gonna happen?
No, I got a surgery. That's right. I got a surgery. That can't
Okay.
happen.
Is it 100% clear though?
There ain't nothing 100% clear. The only thing 100% is death and taxes, bro. Come on now. That's the only thing that's 100%.
Even tax when you're dead.
Yeah,
That's
so
what we're
you
so
know what I'm saying? That's the thing, man. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm too poor to die.
Yeah.
I can't afford to die. That's
You think that's the myth? If you're an entrepreneur, you're rich. Do you think that's giving
Some
them
people
secret
feel
all
like that.
the
Some people feel like that all the time. Like, oh,
time?
you're an entrepreneur. You've got to have it. But the same thing with a musician.
Yeah.
You're a musician. You know, I one of the students that I work with at the school musician school that I teach at, you know, found out that I have a band and I have music that's on like Apple Music. So, you know, automatically this child goes, "You're famous." I'm not famous. I was just able to get a distributor. It's not that hard. DistroKid costs $19.99 a year. You know what I'm saying? And that's really all you need to do to get your music out there. But to get people to listen to it, that's something that's completely different. And that's a whole different type of hustle. You know, but for this kid, I forgot to look at it from their point of view, from looking at it from like, that's an accomplishment. You know, and we really do forget, we forget that a lot. What used to be huge accomplishments that we've made to become small accomplishments, they're still accomplishments. It's still something you went in, you went to the recording studio, recorded something, it was good, and you put it out there. And now someone is listening to it, whether it be a million people or one person, someone is listening to it. You know, the fact that Shane Penguin was kind of dropped during the pandemic, and we have over tw you know 250,000 listeners that have listened. You know, those are 250,000 people that have taken 3 to 4 minutes just to hang out with us.
Right.
That's incredible. Like, that's a victory. Like, that's so cool. Now, it's gotten me, you know, like 12 cents and a high five. But it's also like such a cool thing that
Course.
for just those 4 minutes,
Absolutely.
they wanted to hang out with you. That's something that you need to hold on to. Every listener that I get, I celebrate because that is so cool to me. So that's me though.
How cool was it to see AJ just up there interviewing people, breaking out of his shell for the very first time? AJ
It's
is his son, by the way, for
yeah,
the people who do not know. Yeah.
AJ is one of my youngest. It's so super interesting to see because I see a lot of similarity, but also I love when anyone can push outside their own boundary and you know break down that different wall. you know, that's one of the things, you know, AJ is my debater. And watching him like hold that command and different things has been so great to watch, you know, or, you know, after a debate, which, you know, they don't allow parents at debates. I mean,
why? That's
probably very... because we'll say things and, you know, your parents, you know, it's rough. There's a lot of parents have been kicked out of sports things for beating up on, you know, kids or, you know, yelling at kids. So I kind of understand it, but like, I want to see my kid, you know, debate and knock it out of the park. And one of these days I will.
Not even during the championship?
No, there's no audience, no audience at all. I know
some things Bishop. I won't understand. You can break it down to me. You can,
it's Bishop,
but you can break it down in any type of way. I will never understand, but
they're protecting, and I see it. I understand it. I don't like it, but I understand it, you know. But no, that's the thing. So being able to see him go and interview somebody and stuff like that, that is something that's super cool to watch. You know, having him hold command, you know, and know where his mark is and that he can hit his mark. All that being said, you know, one of the things that was the most reassuring, because I was told for a very long time, both of my younger two should have done like child acting and all that kind of stuff. And then I saw Quiet on the set. And I was like, no, never again. I made the right choice. Whew, did I make the right choice? Yeah. Have you seen it?
I have not seen it. I have not seen it.
It's going to destroy your childhood because you're a Nickelodeon kid, bro.
I'm just a kid in general, man. I'm a Nickelodeon, Disney, Cartoon Network. I mean, everything. It's a little mix of... I wasn't like I didn't have tribalism,
right?
As a kid, I was only gonna watch this. I know some kids who are like very tribal millennials, like they will only stick to one channel, like they will bash you if you like that other channel. I was not like that at all. Right. But the shows that I heard that were talked about, I didn't really watch that much except for like one.
Okay,
I didn't watch that much except for like one show. So I guess. Because mainly for me, it was the cartoons, and I don't think you can go. I didn't think there was like that during that. I didn't think SpongeBob or Rugrats had that type of drama.
No, no.
But I'm happy that the documentary was made.
Mm-hmm.
I really am. So those unfortunate victims can have their voice heard.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of bravery to admit that. And I hope they have a great amount of healing, because it takes
and I hope that we start to believe people a lot sooner, because
absolutely.
Corey Feldman is a train wreck of a human being. I know that because I've met him in real life, but he's been saying this for the longest time. He actually called out one of the people who, you know, was in the documentary years before the documentary came through, years before, you know, anything happened. You know, Corey Feldman was saying, this is bad. So I hope we start to believe victims sooner, no matter how bat spit crazy we might think they are. And trust me, you know, trauma can make you bat spit crazy. I am fully aware.
Absolutely.
You know. But I hope we start to believe victims a lot sooner.
That's a different type of nepotism right there. Stars, and I think that's beyond our boundaries to talk about. But happy that it was made. I really am.
Yeah, no, I'm super happy that it was made too. And seriously, like in that week, I watched the documentary and that stuff happened with Diddy, and all I could think of was, wow, man, that's 2 points in my life that I dodged a bullet, you know, because I could have been a child actor. I was gone through all the commercials and different stuff like that. I was being looked at. And, you know, I could have been signed to Bad Boy. I'm so glad that my life, you know, those times where you're like, oh, darn, I could have been this. And then you're like, wow, no, I could have been that. And
I don't ever want to
be that. So that's twice. That's twice in my life. I'm like, whew, dodged a bullet. You know,
when this teaches people just to follow your instincts,
Right.
Like if your instinct
Exactly.
tells you not to do something, don't do it.
Yep.
So that, you know, it is what it is. And I'm very happy that we had this conversation on WNHH LP 103.5 FM New Haven. Myself, Preston, and Easy, any words for any parent who is never giving up on their ultimate goal?
Continue to not give up on that. That's really one of the key things that you want your kids to see, you know, is you fought from day one to make sure that everything was squared away.
Yes.
You fought and you struggled. Yeah, you struggled. It wasn't fun. Mm-hmm. Don't hide the dirty parts from them either.
No.
You know, because that's the one of those key things. If they think you never had to struggle for it, then they think they don't have to struggle. No, you have to struggle. That's what life is, you know. So make sure that you're out there and you're pushing, and remember that you're not alone. Make sure you have a good support system. Mm-hmm. If you do not have a good support system in your family, look out for friends. And if you still don't have a good support system with family or friends, feel free to hit PM myself up. We'll help you out. I'm not going to give you money, but I'll give you a high five and tell you you're awesome.
You can hit Easy Blues up because I ain't that type of.
Oh, come on now. There's a parent out there that just like needs to be told every once in a while that they're
listen,
okay.
Listen, I will go with my instinct because if I'm not a kid, if I don't have kids, I'm not gonna tell people with kids advice on child. That's just fair.
Okay.
That's fair. You know, I believe, you know, you should not tell people to do what they do with their kids. I don't think you should suggest that. That's just me personally. And right. I'm not the role to tell a mom or dad what to do. I can say I can think that's wrong.
Right.
But I'm not going to tell you what to do with your child. That's.
I was more saying as a cheerleader. You know what I'm saying? As someone
I'm going to steer away from that too, because it can lead to other stuff.
All right. I respect it. If you need a good cheerleader, me and Harry got you.
There you go. Just Easy got you. I love Harry. I love you. Harry, you are the best. You go for us above and beyond, and you are a great supporter of this program. But just go to Easy for a cheerleader. I don't know what Harry's going to say.
See, I know what Harry's going to say. That's why I'm sending you to Harry.
No. Harry, you are loved beyond measure. But no. Definitely Easy. Easy will definitely be a little more optimistic than Harry on WNHHLP 103.5 FM New Haven. Myself, Preston, and my partner in crime, Long Island Rays, Elm City Made, Mr. Easy Blues.
Wondering what to write about, trying to figure out what it's all about. Existentialist, am I worth anything or just this gown? I don't know.